Our new training coordinator is actually the president of Marriage Encounter, which is a ministry that helps marriages become strong. And so as we were looking for the person to speak to us, that was just our natural and a great opportunity to highlight that area and do it. So Dave Morrison, would you put your hands together? Welcome him as he comes to talk to us about our marriages.
Thanks, Carl. Jim, I like the idea of putting the mic on a stand. That way I can move my hands. Okay. So, again, thank you for having me. When Carl said, would you do this? I said, uh-huh. Because that's what you do when the boss asks you a question. All right. So check this out. Do you mind if I strap your phone to my forehead so I can pretend you're looking at me when I talk? I hope that's not you. So our priorities, and actually Jim had already touched on this, of what our priorities are. And you know what? I want to make an apology. I want to apologize up front to the ladies in the room because the majority of what I'm talking about is aimed at the men. But I hope you'll see that within this, there's also some nuggets. There's plenty of nuggets for the ladies. So what are your priorities? As men, especially Royal Ranger men, it's easy to get off track. We get passionate about this ministry that we're called into. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So you're passionate. So our priority is Royal Rangers, right? And then church, and then wife and children, and work, and, oh, wrong. It's not about that. How easy is it to get off track? God called me into this ministry, and it takes priority over my work and my family. No, it doesn't. And I know for some of you, you're saying, man, you're preaching to the choir. But there's times where I like to hear things to reinforce it in my life that I need to hear someone else saying, you need to pay attention to this. So you have to guard against giving more time to Rangers than you do to your family. You need to figure out what that balance is. And everybody has a different balance. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that if you do two Ranger days, you do a half day of vacation or something weird like that. Everybody has their own way of doing it. A lot of you do Rangers and your wife comes with you. She goes to camp. She helps do something behind the scenes. And if that's how you've worked it out, that's awesome. But not everybody does that, and you need to have that balance. You need to be able to have that balance that when you're doing powwow and lead and camporama and rendezvous and territorial, that there's other things that are balanced with it. And it's not just about taking time off, although I do like taking vacations. You know, when's the last time you said, hey, how about tomorrow morning we go out to breakfast? How about we get a sitter? You know, it's not just something that's always planned. It's more of an impromptu. So your priorities, God. God's first. Then your wife and children, work, church, ministry. Ministry. Wow, wait a sec. You put Rangers fifth. That's way down on the list. There's no time. I can't do that. Well, today I'm here to talk about marriage and parenting, so I'm going to kind of stop at the second most important. And we're going to start with marriage. Now, as Carl said, my wife and I are the president couple for the Assemblies of God Marriage Encounter. We've been presenting since fall of 95, and it is something that if you haven't been to a marriage encounter, I'd highly encourage you to go. It's not you don't go because you have to, you know, you have issues. Some people go just to make something good better. And we'll get into a little bit of that later. So marriage, you made a covenant with God and your wife to love, cherish, and protect her until death do you part. You know, I think the interesting thing in our culture today is that we forget that covenant is different than contract. A contract, as you know in business, can often be broken. and they can figure out ways to sever it. But actually, a covenant is a bond. And it's a bond that you make and you freely enter into. And so that's something that we, I think in our society, the world and Satan has tried to get it into our brains that, well, if you don't like it, just change directions. Some might say, it's two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. I like what Dr. Dobson says. If marriage is going to reach its potential, it will require an all-out investment by both husband and wife. Now, when I was preparing for this, we get a lot of our wisdom from social media, right? Facebook, banner ads. Well, this came across that they just concluded a 75-year Harvard study that found the number one secret to leading a fulfilling life. Did anybody see this? Good. In this study, they were prioritizing what's important in today's challenging world. And for over 75 years, Harvard's Grant and Gluck, I hope I pronounced that right, study had tracked the physical and emotional well-being of two populations, 456 poor men growing up in Boston from 39 to 2014, and then 268 male graduates from Harvard's classes of 1939 to 1944. So this was the most extensive study that had ever been done on something like this. So are you ready? Are you ready for what this 75-year study came up with? Good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Period. And I thought, how appropriate that the world is catching up on what God had planned for marriage. Because if you have a good marriage, you know you're healthier and you're happier. And I want so bad to tell a joke right now, but I won't. But later. So you've made a covenant with your spouse for life. Now, if you want to live longer, then work on making your relationship better. Does she long to see you after you've been away on a ranger event? Or does she dread the mess that you're probably going to pile up in the front door? We won't ask for a show of hands. I will tell you, I was guilty of that for several years in my ranger ministry. And then one day, I can't remember what it was, but I woke up and I said, no more. She shouldn't be punished when I come home from a powwow and have 12 totes in the front room while I'm just exhausted. You know, when I get home, everything gets put away. Everything. So that we can enjoy our time together. Does she look across the crowded room and is thankful you are hers? She looks across and she goes, yeah, that's my guy. Or is she thinking about how I can get rid of him? You know, we live in a society of it's not my fault. I'm here to tell you that in many areas, yes, it is your fault. We have to be vigilant. In marriage and parenting, our work. You have to invest yourself into your marriage, and it's not all about you. So in Ephesians 5:22-33, and if you'll allow me to read that, and I'll try to read quickly, you listen quickly. A lot of people refer to this passage as husbands and wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Here's the two main points. You notice in this last verse, husbands are commanded, are directed to love their wife. And wives are told to respect their husband. Interestingly, it doesn't have in here vice versa. The men, your wife deserves to be loved, to be cherished, to be protected, to love and care for her as if she was your own body. Women are instructed to respect their husbands. It does not say women are required to love their husband. But again, in God's incredible, infinite wisdom, I think all the men in this room would agree that when their wife respects them in an appropriate way, you truly feel loved. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's right. So what then? What are the ways you can make your wife feel loved? For some, a regular date night. Does it have to cost a lot? Nope. If you don't have that discretionary cash, then do something that the two of you enjoy doing together. A mid-evening walk that allows you to each catch up on the other's day or even the week. My parents, in their ever constant struggle that we need to lose weight, we need to be in better shape, they used to go on a walk. And they would walk to an ice cream store. And it was called Cloverdale's. And they go, well, we're going to Cloverdale's. And I always just had to shake my head. But you know what? They were doing something together. For many years, my wife and I bought season tickets to a place called Little Theater off Broadway. It was a small community theater, only 104 chairs. Well, yeah, I counted. That was all volunteer actors. We saw musicals, comedies, dramas, you name it. The stage wasn't a whole lot bigger than this platform. And we'd go in there and go, how are they going to pull this off? We'd go to dinner, didn't matter where. We'd attend the theater, as I would like to say. And then we'd share a hot fudge brownie Sunday. And then I would take all the long roads home just to make that time together last. On your table, you have a trifold for Assemblies of God Marriage Encounter. Now, this trifold provides some basic information and can be used as a means to register for an upcoming weekend. Now, normally on something like this, we would have printed in there. There's a place to say where's the next weekend and when and all that. But since you're all from across the country, you can go to the website that's listed in there, and it'll tell you when are the weekends that are closest to you and where, and you can register online. My wife, Christine, and I, like I said, we've been presenters since the fall of 95 and currently are completing our term as the president couple. I say all this to say that Marriage Encounter Weekend is a fantastic gift to give your spouse. You don't have to be in trouble to attend. Chris and I wanted to attend because friends of ours at church had been and all spoke so highly of it and their experience. We were like, man, we got to go see what this thing's all about. A couple years ago in Ohio, we had a Ranger-only marriage encounter. Right, Commander Jim? And we had a room full of commanders and wives, or spouses, because I'm sure we had some female commanders. And we had an incredible time. During our weekend, Chris and I both felt led to become part of this ministry to marriages. If you have questions after we dismiss, I'd be happy to answer anything you have. And you can help me break down while we're doing it. So parenting. So you have your marriage in order. What about your relationship with your children? It's about this time in a presentation I'd probably turn and look at someone and go, now he's meddling. I don't think you have to read every child-rearing book that hits the shelves or attend every seminar to be a good parent. Our pastor, during a baby dedication, and it was one of our children, he said something that had just resonated with us ever since. Be consistently adequate. You may think this sounds a little lame, but after raising 5 grown children and still having one at home, we realized we couldn't be super parents. But if we could be consistently adequate, we were on to something. Oop, can you play that video?
Dad, you don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I'm watching the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. The time you spend with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life where I struggle with integrity, and I may be not sure what to do. But I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. Many of the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching. Watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way. Show me how to live life that isn't safe, but is good. So I'm watching you, Dad, every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not.
Obviously, this video depicts a father and son relationship, but the same holds true for a mother-daughter, father-daughter, mother-son, mom and dad. They're watching you. They want to be with you, and they want to be part of your lives. Don't let your marriage or your ministry with Royal Rangers damage that relationship. If you let Royal Rangers get between you and your relationship with your wife or your kids, I'm here to tell you, stop. Reevaluate what you're doing and correct the situation. Many of you have heard of William Ashley Sunday, or maybe you'll recognize him when I call him Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was an American athlete who, after being a popular outfielder in the National League during the 1880s, became the most celebrated, influential American evangelist during the first 2 decades of the 20th century. While Billy and Helen, his wife, were out conducting revivals, their 3 sons were out doing everything Billy was preaching against. He and Helen were following their calling, but at what cost? Did they let their ministry get in between them? and their parenting. So we continue to go to the owner's manual. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You know, it may sound like that this one's calling out the dads, but Paul also has told children to obey their parents and the Lord in Ephesians 6:1. Another one, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Wow. Again, I won't ask for a show of hands of times maybe you could remember provoking your children or exasperating them. So in this case, provoke means to challenge or to irritate. An example would be the so-called helicopter mom. You know, she hovers over her kids at all times. Another example would be the father who is never satisfied with his son's performance in school, sports, work, etc. When our two oldest boys were playing basketball in high school, one of the young men on the team, who was a nice young guy, his dad had a voice that traveled and carried well, unfortunately. And he was the dad who knew everything about basketball. And when his son was playing, he would scream from the bleachers what he was doing wrong, how he should hustle. How, I mean, you name it. We had an away game one time. By the way, this was at a Christian school. We had an away game at another Christian school, and he did the same thing, and we were asked not to come back. And I would watch this young man, and that dad would yell at him, and I'd watch his shoulders drop. Don't be that dad. Don't be that mom. Our second oldest son is naturally bright. He's just plain smart, which, of course, meant that he could be a smart aleck, too. But when the report cards would arrive, one of his favorite things would be, you guys are never happy unless I get all A's. And we always responded, no. No, it's not a matter of we're not happy if you don't get all A's. We're not happy if you don't try. We just want you to try your best. And yeah, there were times that we knew he just wasn't as motivated. So this verse should be taken seriously. When Paul says discouraged, he literally means to lose heart. Training children is important, but it needs to be done in a way that does not cause them to lose heart. My wife and I have a saying, is this a hill to die on? Or in 100 years, will it matter? You must choose wisely in how you're raising your children. It's not easy. I like to share that years ago there was a commercial, and it would say lawyer, and it, you know, 6-8 years of college, and it had all these professions, and it would say the years, and at the end it would say parent, 0 years required. And how foolish is that? It's a lifetime. Okay, so we have some table talk questions. Again, I like what Jim said. If you want to take a picture of this, you may not have enough time to talk about all of these. I think number 2 is a really good one. As a table, come up with new suggestions to make your spouse feel special. Maybe you have something you do that the other men and women at the table, especially the men, would love to hear and take notes. Thank you.